Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Well, this week we are in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we're going through chapter 31. This is going to be the last Torah portion that we will actually be teaching on in this Torah cycle. The next few weeks, we will be teaching on our fall feast as we enter into our fall feast. So we are close to our feast season. Looking forward to that. I hope you enjoy your fall feast season. And then after our fall feast season, we are going to begin to bring some teachings from additional books out of the Bible. Of course, we will keep the Torah as the basis, that basic foundation for all of our teaching as we do that. And just kind of wanted to let you know that as we will kind of pause from running through our Torah cycles after the fall feast season. So this week I have a verse here picked out in Deuteronomy chapter 29, starting in verse 18. It says, beware lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from Yahweh our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. So we see here the warning of God speaking of the person who hears the covenant, or you could say hears the words of God, hears his law, hears the instructions in which he has given us the way he wants us to live, the way he wants us to love him, and the way he wants us to love people. That is what the Torah is. The Torah is instructions on how we love God and how we love people. If we try to sit back and say, all I need to worry about is loving God and loving people, but we throw away the Torah, we throw away the very thing which instructs us and teaches us on how to love God and love people. When we throw it away, what we begin to do is love God how we choose to love God. We love God in what seems right in our own eyes, and the same way when it comes to loving people. Okay, so his Torah instructs us on how to love him and love people. And it instructs us on how to do that in a manner that is set apart. Because when we do it according to his instructions, we do it different than the world does it. We love our God and we worship our God different than the people of this world worship their gods. We love people, we treat people differently than the world treats people when we follow his commandments, okay? So to the person who hears his commandments, but yet says in his heart, I shall be safe. So he rejects God's word. He rejects the covenant, the law, the commandments. He says, I do not need to walk in his commandments. I do not need to walk in obedience to his word. I don't need to walk in covenant with him. Okay. Covenant means that he has his end and we have our end. Our end of the covenant is we possess a belief in Yeshua, and that belief produces obedience. So our end of the covenant is to walk in obedience to his righteousness. So to the person who hears that covenant but rejects walking in obedience to his word, but chooses yet to walk in the stubbornness of his heart. So instead chooses to do whatever is in his heart, chooses to do the desires of his heart. He seeks his will, what pleases him, what pleases his flesh. You know, sin satisfies for a season. So the one who is stubborn is walking in the lust and the pleasures of sin for a season, But this person turns their nose up, you could say they're prideful in a way, to which they say, I shall be safe. They say, nothing will happen to me. No harm will come my way. There's no curse. They're not worried about the future judgment that is to come. They think and they believe in their heart that they can do whatever they want to do and they will be safe. Everything will be fine. So let's look at Psalms chapter 10 and verse 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces Yahweh. So here the psalmist is painting us a picture of the wicked. And number one, he's saying they act in arrogance. In arrogance, they think that they are going to get away with their wicked behavior. And they even go on to boast of the desires of their soul. Well, if they are wicked, what are the desires of their soul? They are wicked. Okay, so they boast of having these wicked desires, and they're arrogant about it as well. Now let's look at verse 4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. So here we see he's speaking of the pride that is in the wicked's face, the pride that they have, and in the fact that they do not even seek God. They do not seek his covenant. They do not seek his ways and his instructions, his Torah. They don't seek it. And in their thoughts, they say there is no God. You can say they live their life as if there is no God, as if they are not accountable to God. They live not thinking about the fact that one day they will have to stand in front of that judgment seat and give count for what they have done. But they say there is no God. And in their pride, they do not seek after him. So there's no accountability. What do? They do whatever is pleasing in their own sight. Let's look at Psalm chapter 10, verse 5. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. So here the psalmist goes on to speak of this evil, wicked person to say that in his ways, he prospers at all times. So even though he is walking in sin and he is walking in that which is evil and wicked, we see here that he's still prospering and can prosper. We have to be careful and thinking when we think about the concept of the blessing that comes with obedience and the cursing that comes with disobedience, that if we're walking in prosperity, if we're have the things that we need and we seem blessed, to think that everything is perfect and that everything is right. Because we see in Scripture and we see in other places in Scripture where the evil prosper, where the evil seem to be blessed. So don't just look at that to think that, oh, this person must be walking in obedience or they are fine or they have nothing you can say to worry about when it comes to standing before the judgment seat of the Almighty. Because ultimately what we're talking about when it comes to the curse from disobedience is the curse of death. It's that eternal judgment that's coming our way. So in the short term and in the earth right now and in this temporary world, it can seem that everything is fine and everything is working out for you, even though you're walking contrary to his covenant. Even though you are walking in that which is wicked, and they may seem to prosper in their wickedness, but they're prospering in the temporary, not in that which is eternal. Because eternal, they're going to receive the curse. they're not going to receive the blessing. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 7, his mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that they may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. So here we see the actions that come from that person which is evil and wicked. We see the wickedness and the evilness that is in them and the actions upon which they are taking. Now let's look at verse 11 and see what this person says in his heart regarding his actions. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. So remember, this prideful person that we spoke of in the beginning, this was a person who was arrogant. So they were arrogant about their wickedness. They boast about their wickedness. They had no problem with people seeing what they did, how they acted. In fact, they were in such pride that they said in their thoughts, there is no God. And now we see in this scripture, they say that he has forgotten, he has hidden his face, and he will never see it. So they are so prideful. They're so arrogant in what they're doing that they think that they can do all the stuff they're doing and God is not paying attention to what they're doing. They think that they're going to get away with it, but they're not. He sees everything that we do, and we will have to take account for all that we have done. And woe unto those who have not been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. Woe to those who have rejected his covenant, as we read in our first opening passage. To the one who hears his covenant, but yet chooses to walk in the stubbornness of his heart, woe unto that person. Okay. Psalm chapter 49 and verse 16. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. So just speaking of the fact that no matter how much money we obtain on this earth, no matter what we possess on this earth, it will not go with us. So this is just a reminder that no matter what we gain on this earth, when we die, it will not go with us. The temporary that we tend to love and want to hold on to, the things of this world are all temporary. There is an eternal life. There's a second life after this one that is going to last for eternity. And we need to learn to live for that one and not for the here and now. Because everything that we have here in the here and now is going to pass away. Verse 18, for though while he lives, he counts himself blessed. And though you get praise when you do well for yourself. So this is a person who has gained riches, as we can see in that other verse. And he counts himself blessed and he gets praised by people for what he has done while he lives. Okay. Verse 19, his soul shall go to the generations of his father, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beast that perished. So even though you may have the riches of this world, you can count yourself blessed and you can receive the praises of men. Without understanding, without being a person who is walking in his covenant, you are without understanding. And you are like the beast that perish. You will perish. you will not see eternal life with him. You will not reign with him. Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 1, he who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So here Proverbs is talking about the one who is often reproved. So often the Spirit is coming and bringing correction. Remember, the Father disciplines those whom he loves. So he brings his discipline. So to the one who is disciplined, or even to the non-believer who is disciplined by others, but yet stiffens his neck or rejects the discipline. That's what it means to stiffen your neck. It means to reject his discipline, to reject his correction, to reject choosing to turn from that which you are doing, which is evil or wicked, that is against his commandments. So he brings the correction. He says, this is what you're doing wrong. This is what you need to repent of. This is what you need to turn from. But yet you reject his voice. You reject the conviction of his Spirit. And you say, no, I am not going to be obedient in that area. I'm not going to give up this sin. I'm going to choose to rather continue to do what I'm doing because I seek pleasure in it. I enjoy it. That is what it means to stiffen one's neck. And Proverbs says, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So if we continue to reject his voice, to reject correction when it comes, and continue to stiffen our neck over and over and over again, we will get to the point where we will no longer be able to hear and feel the conviction of his Holy Spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the feel of their own devices. So here we see in this chapter of Proverbs speaks of those who hated knowledge. What does it mean to hate knowledge? When you hate his Torah is knowledge. His Torah brings us knowledge and it brings us wisdom. So when we hate his instructions, when we hate the law in which he has given us, and when he brings correction unto us and we reject it and we choose not to walk in it, we're hating knowledge. And so in hating knowledge, we also choose not to fear, to have that fear of Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh means to walk in obedience to his commands, to his instructions. So this is a person who is walking in disobedience to his commandments. They have rejected his covenant. They would have none of his counsel. They despise his reproof or his discipline. So what does he say of this person? They shall eat the fruit of their way. But as I said before, you can see the wicked prosper. And you can see the wicked prosper up until the day they die. And sometimes it seems unfair because it seems like they are not eating of the fruit of their way. Even if you don't see them eating of the fruit of their way here on this earth, it doesn't mean that they're not going to eat the fruit of their way in eternity, which is much worse. Because if you get a taste of your fruit here on earth, you repent, then you know what it's like to walk in life and blessing in eternity. But to the one who does not repent here and they're eating of their fruit of their way in eternity, that is hell. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So therefore, do not become partners with them. Okay, so his wrath is going to be poured out upon the sons of disobedience. So as I said, everyone's going to stand before his judgment seat. There is a day coming when his wrath is going to be poured out upon those who have rejected his covenant. So do not become partners with sons of disobedience. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. To walk in darkness means to walk in disobedience. To walk in light is to walk in obedience to his word. His Torah, his law, is light unto us. So we walk in his light by walking in obedience to his word. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we learn to discern what is pleasing unto the Lord? By learning his law, learning his instructions, learning how he wants us to love him and love people. Remember, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. So it's learning how to discern, walking in obedience to his word in this day and time. Now let's look at verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So here's, we see a bit of the difference between the wicked. Remember, the wicked was arrogant about what they did. They were boastful about what they did. And now we see Paul saying, for it is even shameful just to speak of what they do. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So here's our passage. I've been speaking of this as we went through this teaching. Every person will stand before his judgment seat. And every person will be judged according to what they have done. And every person will be judged based upon if their name is written in the book of life. If their name is not written in the book of life, then they're thrown into the lake of fire. So as we went back to what we read in our previous statement, woe unto the person who hears his covenant, but yet chooses to walk in the stubbornness of his heart. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching for this week. Again, we will be back again next week. We will begin teaching on our fall feast season next week. So there will not be a Torah portion teaching next week. It will be about the fall feast. And then again, after the fall feast season, we will begin to bring some teachings out of some additional books of the Bible as well, but still keeping the Torah as the basic foundation of all scripture and everything that we do. Well, come back and join us again. Shalom, y'all.